Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 2nd and 3rd. Let's get right to it. Going to break it now on the road right now on the Big Jack Express, a.k.a. the Cittarelli train. Jack Cittarelli, Republican, rather, gubernatorial candidate for the state of New Jersey, and he's going to kick some ass on the road. He had a very important meeting last week. I understand it went well, and let's get to it because it concerns hunters, anglers, trappers, outdoors people in New Jersey. Jack, sorry, you're jamming. You're on the road. I'm going crazy. How you doing, man?
Doing real well, man. Great to be back with you. And yes, I was very thankful for that meeting earlier this week with the leaders of the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance.
Wow. And let's go first personal right now. Let's get personal right now. With congratulations from the Rack and Fin Radio family here on your son, Jake's promotion to captain, U.S. Army, I understand.
Yes, he's an Army captain. He's in Kuwait and in charge of logistical operations for the infantry in Iran, Iraq, Israel, and was recently awarded an Army Medal for his performance during the war between Israel and Hamas.
Well, he's great antecedents, Cittarelli. What can I tell you? You know, you must be very proud.
I'm very proud of all four of my children, and Jake is in our thoughts and prayers every day, but he loves serving his country, and we thank him for his duty.
Okay, Jack, let's get right to it. The meeting with the NJOA, the whole gist of it, people, was, Jack, in your own words, Jack, will follow the science of the fish and wildlife biologists, correct?
Absolutely. And what was really, really humbling for me is that, we put out these policy positions that are right there on my website for everyone to see. And I think they greatly appreciate that I do my homework and seem to be spot on what it is that we need to do to ensure that we protect the rights of people who want to fish and hunt around this state.
Jack, yeah, the tenor I'm getting out there now, listen, it was just the last time we spoke to Jack, the election was 5 months away. Now it's 3 months away. Jack, the time is, as you know, is at a premium. It is flying. They say the days are long and the weeks and months and years fly by. Getting the word out via your website, what can guys and gals who hunt, fish, trap, whatever, enjoy the outdoors do to keep passing the word on you? Because, Jack, that mid-belt, that I call it the waistline of New Jersey, is a tough go for you.
Hey, listen, we're going to get it done. You know how close we came in 21, but people paying a lot closer attention this time around, and I greatly appreciate that. But we're not ratchet down the energy level. We're going to ratchet it up over these last 3 months. So we're not going to be outworked. We're not going to be out energized. And we're talking about the issues that matter in New Jersey. I've got an opponent that all she wants to talk about is President Trump. He's got nothing to do with restricting the rights of our hunters and our fishermen out there across the state of New Jersey, nothing to do with our property taxes, nothing to do with those damn wind farms off the Jersey Shore, which I will stop, and certainly nothing to do with the rise in electricity rates, which we're seeing each and every day. People across the state are furious at what's going on with their monthly electric bills.
Oh, Jack, that's absolutely scary. And the thing with your opponent, again, it's the name calling, it's a tying to President Trump, and I just, that doesn't resonate, I don't think, with, except for the diehard Democrats, that doesn't really resonate with anyone.
Tom, people want us to talk about New Jersey and the issues that people are up against every single day, and I do, and I talk about our answers for those things. But again, this is someone that only wants to talk about the president. I don't even think she knows what the issues are in New Jersey. But yeah. Listen, the Democrats did this with Corzine. He came here from Illinois. They did it with Murphy. He came here from Massachusetts. She's not from New Jersey. I got a very simple message. How about we elect a Jersey guy?
Well, that's what happened with Fetterman versus Oz over there in PA. So we have a place over there. I've talked to a lot of people, and it was, well, he's an outsider. And Fetterman, so that's neither here nor there. But, Jack, that does resonate that you are a Jerseyan through and through.
We've been here for 100 years, Tom. We've all been small business owners. We've all been job creators. I know what's going on. Now, while I was owning my businesses, I also had the privilege of serving at the municipal, county, and legislative level. I know what the issues are. I'm an MBA CPA CEO who's got very specific ideas on how to solve our problems, and that's what gets people excited.
They bring it this morning, Rack and Fin Radio. Jack Cittarelli, Republican gubernatorial candidate, election coming up very soon. Bill, was it jackfornewjersey.com?
You bet, jack4nj.com, and that's the number four. That's where you can learn all about my positions, including those that are specific to hunting, fishing, and conservation.
Jack, two things a little bit off the reservation, but still involved. One, Jersey's lack of affordability, and two, master stroke on your part with getting Gannon on board.
There is an affordability crisis across the state because we pay the highest taxes in the country, and now it's gotten worse because of what's going on with our utility bills and specific electricity. And so we can solve those things, and I will. But I'm also pleased and excited about having Jim Gannon, a very decorated law enforcement professional for 40 years, the sheriff of Morris County, on the ticket. The more people see and hear Jim Gannon, the more they're going to really like him.
And the more they listen and watch Jack's opponent dodge anything about defund the police, what about the crime rates? People, it's a no-brainer. Again, especially if you hunt, fish, trap, whatever, enjoy the outdoors in New Jersey. Jack, thanks. Short notice. Great to have you on. Super meeting with the NJOA. Listeners, 3 months away. Get out. Spread the word. Jack for governor. Travel safely, Jack. I greatly appreciate you coming on. And best of the family again. Congratulations to son Jake. Good for him.
Tom, if NJOA members get out and vote, we win. So thank you very much. Let's get it done.
Okay, man. See you, brother. Be safe on the road, brother.
Every day.
Had to break that with Chitter. I mean, it was a great meeting. The man's there. The man's on. He is there. He's going to be a biologist from Fish and Wildlife, not animal rights activists, not the radical environmentalists. Oh, stop this, stop that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Hunters, anglers, we're the true conservationists. They throw that term around, environmentalists. Makes me sick. We are the ones, and we foot the bill. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Finn Raiders starting over to bang. Should rally for governor.
Ho, ho, ho. Hey, this is Josh Hennig inviting you to join me this Saturday for Hanging with Hennig, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN, as we recap the Phillies' moves at the MLB trade deadline and the latest news with the Eagles at training camp. Joining me in studio is 97.3 ESPN.com Flyers insider Kevin Durso to talk the state of Philadelphia sports. Plus, tune in for my conversation with ESPN.com NFL, MMA, and WWE writer Mark Raimondi about his new book, Say Hello to the Bad Guys. Hanging with Hennig on 97.3 ESPN is sponsored by Yesterday's Creekside Tavern, South Jersey's best sports bar in Marmora, Clemic Performance Method in Egg Harbor Township, and Dr. Squatch Natural Soap. That's Hanging with Hennig this Saturday, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, the 97.3 ESPN mobile app powered by First Bank of Seattle City, and streaming live on YouTube and X in the Dr. Squatch virtual studio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Man, too charged up. Hey, you're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We're going to have August 2nd and 3rd. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. on 50,000 mega far-reaching radio watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, 97.3 ESPN.com. You can go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or other platforms to get the Rack and Fin Radio message via podcast. The show is usually posted either today, Saturday afternoon, or sometime Sunday. Get the message out. That was Jack C, man. The man is running, and he is running strong. Now, last week, we talked crabbing. I love my crabbing. Past 2 or 3 years, I've really noticed a significant uptick in people clamming. I've been traveling the coast a lot. You know, I get from High Point to Cape May and all points in between. Very blessed in that regard. But clamming has really, really just, and it's been, from what I understand, it's been the best in years. And the last couple of years, everyone said it was great. It is amazing. And seeing the families doing it, you see the mom, dad, your aunts, uncles, whatever, and some of the youngsters out there, a lot of fun. And, of course, great eating. Clams on a half shell, nah, that's not really my thing. Clams Casino, okay. Give me the clams at Eggenade. You know, with the bread stuffing on top. Oh, man, that is the way to do it. I want to learn more about clams, clamming, and the importance in New Jersey. Join us on the line. Very first special guest, first time, is Michael Oriema. He's a biologist with DEP's Marine Habitat and Shell Fisheries Bureau. Cool guy, man. We are going to talk the bivalve. How you doing, Michael?
Doing all right, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, clamming is jamming, brother. I'm seeing people, I'm seeing more, it seems like more clam rakes and baskets and stuff than I even thought were ever manufactured. It is really going strong.
Yeah, we love it. I mean, I've seen people out there with, hand rakes that they use for their garden. So people are getting after it, and we love to hear it.
Listen, it can be as basic, as Michael just said, or as esoteric as you want. I've seen they look like professional recreational clammers. The special booties and the rakes with the pool noodles on top, that's a rub on their shoulders. But the bottom line is lots of limits of, I think it's 150 daily on a recreational basis. Just a little forewarning here. Clamming on Sunday is not allowed. It's been that way for about 100 years. Still trying to figure that out. But, Michael, when you see the pressure on the resource, is a clamming population, the hard clam, is it strong here along the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, so I mean, it certainly has fluctuated over time. I mean, we have done some surveys going back to the 1960s, I believe, up and down our coast, and we've seen great, you know, super high densities of clams throughout the state, and we've seen some times where populations have dwindled a little bit. It's kind of hard to figure out exactly what's causing that. I mean, we certainly have had historical commercial and recreational fishing up and down the coast of New Jersey.
Right.
But we also have, you know, lots of coastal development and, you know, a lot of unknown environmental factors that also kind of influence the population. So it's really hard to get a good idea of what's causing population boom and bust. But for the most part, I'd say currently we're doing all right. Like you said, you see people out there, and there are plenty of clams to be had for all.
I'll tell you, and Mother Nature, let me interrupt you for a second. I guess, well, I still have the thought in my head, which is either empty or full of mush, is that every once in a while, Mother Nature throws you a curve or a fastball or a slider or a sinker vis-a-vis Sandy, for example, that turns everything upside down for a while. Mother Nature still rules when it comes to the, you know, overall environmental factors, no?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely agreed. And, you know, there are a lot of things that can contribute from a storm like that. Change in sand, change in salinity of the water. So that obviously affects the habitat of the clam. You know, we actually did a report in Barnegat Bay. We did a population survey back in 2012, 2013.
Oh, wow.
And right around the time that Sandy hit, so we kind of were able to get a before and after picture of the population.
Oh, wow.
Now, we did see some change in the habitat, like I mentioned, but actually no statistically significant, we'll call it scientific terms.
Wow.
No significant changes in the population, at least at that time, caused by the storm. So these little clams, they live a long time, and they're pretty resilient little guys.
Tough little suckers. Mentioned Barnegat Bay. A shout-out to an organization. I think it's Reclaiming the Bay. I had someone on from there a couple of years ago. And so it's a symbiotic relationship, too. Organizations are working to bolster and restart clam populations, correct?
Yes. So I'm glad you mentioned that, Tom. Thanks. We do have great non-government organizations, volunteers, people like Reclam. We have Barnegat Bay Partnership. We've got all types of volunteers that are out there doing hard work to get the good word out there about clams, about shellfish in general, about the bay. And in fact, they partner oftentimes with us to do some of our clam enhancement work, some of our outreach programs, and all types of different work, not just with clams. Like I said, other shellfish and other environmental concerns. You know, we've got some great partners that work with us.
Okay, join us online is Michael Oriema. He is a biologist, DEP's Marine Habitat and Shell Fisheries Bureau. Talk is about clam, little hard clams. Well, Mike, before we get into some of the economics about it, whatever, tell us the life cycle of a clam. I mean, the clam, man, they're always there. Like, what do we really know about clams? We eat them, we use them for bait. That's a dealio.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. It's very complicated and very simple at the same time. You know, the clams will release their release their eggs and will hatch to microscopic little clams, and within a couple of weeks they settle into the sediment, typically in muddier, sandy areas is what they prefer. They'll grow to about an inch within that first year, and by that time they're mature, so they can contribute to the population. They'll be able to spawn, which is why that our minimum size of 1.5 inches is critically important for the population. We give them that time and to be able to spawn one, two, a few times potentially before mm-hmm. they're, you know, potentially subject to being harvested. So it's kind of like a little bit of a protective buffer that they have. So once they mature, you know, they'll just settle into the sediment, usually about 1 to 4 inches down in that mud or sandy mud habitat. And, you know, they can live on the order of 20, potentially even 40 or more years.
What? Yeah. Are you serious? I figured that they were two or 3 years and out, man.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty incredible, which is why I know. That's why they're such a, you know, uniformly found species throughout the state of New Jersey and elsewhere too. I think that's what makes it such an interesting and important species for fishing, but for the environment as well. They're found everywhere. They live a pretty long time. And if I'm not mistaken, I think not New Jersey specific, but one of the related species of clams is one of the oldest animals to ever live ever, like 500 years or something crazy. So, you know, these clams, this family of bivalves is pretty incredible. They don't get as much credit as they're due. That's for sure.
Right. Prime clam habitat. You want to go clamming. I mean, again, Barnegat Bay, there's a famous and infamous, based on the crowds, Clam Island, down there behind the Deauville Inn there, and what's that, before you get to Strathmere, areas like that. But for the clam itself, like you said, sandy, muddy, low tide, high tide, when they breathe, what do they eat?
Yeah, so clams are filter feeders, so they'll eat, you know, all types of plankton that's just floating in the water passively, stick their siphons up from in the sand. They have one siphon that sucks the water and stuff in, and the other one gets the waste out. So they're filter feeding constantly, which is why they're such an important part of our bay environment, you know, keeping the water filtered and cleaned. They'll be in pretty much anywhere, easier to access in some of the shallow areas, mud and sand types of bottoms. But they do live in deep waters. They can live in 30, 40 feet of water. There's plenty of clams that are fished regularly up in the Raritan Sandy Hook Bay area.
Wow.
That are, you know, have to be cleaned before going to market because of the closures up there. But yeah, I mean, they do live kind of, like I said, uniformly throughout the areas of the bay. They do prefer saltier water. They live in brackish water. But yeah, along our Atlantic coast, there are clams in shallow and deep waters, and yeah, people are able to access them as long as they're in open waters, if they can find them.
And you do have you need non-residents $20, $10 resident license, and a youth license. I'd be clamming license $10. Listen, people, Michael, this is not, you didn't know I was going to. Even if you're in a boat, you have youngsters in a boat, even if the kid's an infant, has Social Security number, that child needs a clamming license. Well, Michael, the size designations, now you have, what, little necks, top necks, middle necks, cherry stones. Age-wise, I mean, okay, you're a little neck is a little tiny one, right? The inch and a half?
Yep.
Would you peel that open? Yeah. Unless you're going to use it for, like, the white clam. So, hey, what do you do with that? Yep. And then,
the little neck?
Yeah.
Those are good. I mean, the inch and a half to about, you know, for simplification's sake, we'll keep it three categories: little necks, cherry stones, and chowders. The little necks are inch and a half to about 2 inches. Those are delicious with some pasta, steamed as an appetizer, a little white wine sauce, a little butter, garlic.
You hear this? You hear this? Last night was already yummy. You get an Italiano.
Yeah, you know, I know what I'm talking about in the kitchen. Don't you worry. The cherry stones, a little bit bigger. That's the sort of middle size. You know, there's middle and top neck that are in between that little neck and cherry stone size. I think people like them on the half shell, but probably also could be steamed with some pasta. Then you get to the chowders. Those are the ones you're talking about with the breading, stuffed clams. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, secret little recipe additive. I don't know if everybody does it, but I love chopping up a little bacon in my stuffed clams, and that's a nice.
Yo, man, you're making me sweat already. Stop with that one. I'm going to go on a clam bender, people. Well, Mike, when we say now, Michael, the economic importance of these clams and the recreational clamming, big money along the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly historically, you know, there used to be a really vibrant commercial fishery going back a couple hundred years. And I've been lucky enough, you know, we have some folks still involved in the industry with multiple generations of, you know, of knowledge and history. Some of our towns were built off of people commercial fishing and clamming in Barnegat Bay. So there's a long storied history, just for, you know, for clams, on our coast. But yeah, still to this day, you know, bait and tackle shops, of course, benefit from people coming in, buying their license there if they didn't get it online, buying some clamming gear, other fishing gear, obviously. You know, there are a lot of things that clams do to sort of bolster the
Absolutely.
Financial impact of coastal resources and Client really, lizard. Makes it a desirable place for people to come for so many different reasons. And so, yeah, there are definitely economic benefits on top of, the market. We've got commercial harvesters, but we've got growers, aquaculture people. Yeah. I mean, typically think about oysters, but there are lots of guys that grow and sell clams, and we're talking about it's delicious. Restaurants love to sell them. It's good money for guys that can do it well, and certainly hard work, but very rewarding, and ultimately a very New Jersey, very New Jersey specific, New Jersey proud industry, I'd say.
The incredible edible clam. Listen, to sort of related, sort of not. If you ever look on Amazon, I think you probably still get it there, Barnes or whatever. There was a gentleman, they lived up in the Forked River area, Merce Ridgway. Ridgway family, pretty numerous back then. Started the Albert Hall there, the music hall. He wrote a book called The Bayman's Life. And 90% of it is about clamming, the year-round clamming, the business, the hardships. It's absolutely fascinating. And in fourth grade at St. Rose Lama, I won a blue ribbon, and I had my science project, The Life of the Clam. Check it out, Oriema. I had a big board, real thick cardboard. I had a clam. My mother went to the local fisherman. I cut a clam in half. We had all the parts. I won the ribbon, right? Came home from school. I'm just going to say St. Rose. I'm not going to tell you where. Okay, what do I do with this? Well, guys were saying, come on, Tommy, we're going to go play football or baseball, whatever it was. I stuck it in my closet. Well, about 4 or 5 days later, my mom, God rest her soul, came home, tracked it down, and I came running up the stairs for dinner with my little baseball glove and the whole bit, and you talk about an ass whooping. But I had the blue ribbon from my clam project, fourth grade. Well, Michael, thanks for joining us. A great guest. Hope to have you on Rack and Fin again. And the thing, listeners, clamming, get out and enjoy it. You have a very generous limit, 150 daily. Make sure you have a license. You get it online or go to any one of the license issuing agents. I know Creekside up there in Weartown, so there's a line sometimes out the door. They try to go the best they can for the clamming license. It could be as simple as esoteric as you want to make, but just be safe out there and please don't do the tread. Don't do the feeling with the toes here. I don't care, especially after Sandy. You don't know what's in the bottom of any bay these days. Wear the booties. Absolutely. Yeah. You can always get them with the rig. Michael Oriema, we're going to have a return visit with you, correct?
I hope so, yeah. Make sure you pay attention to your shellfish water classification maps, too.
Yep.
That's for shellfish sanitation, health, for public health. Very important to pay attention to if you're getting into clamming.
Michael, is there something on Fish and Wildlife website, or is there a book, Clamming Areas? I mean, Raritan Bay down. Is there something available for the people?
Yes, exactly. Those maps are updated regularly online. They're called the Bureau of Marine Water Monitoring actually does the sampling to make sure the bacteria levels are safe for shellfish harvest. Those are available on DEP's website. You could Google search for shellfish water classification maps, and you can click on areas. They can tell you a little information about the different areas, color coded, nice and easy for everybody to follow, but highly important.
Okay. Oriema, you're not escaping this. Listen, man, I'm going to call you next week, and you're going to give me that clam sauce recipe, man. You got it. Done deal. Talk to you later.
Michael, you got it. We can talk food anytime.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on Rack and Fin. Looking forward to a future engagement. See you, man.
Thanks, Tom. Yep. Appreciate it.
Yeah, clamming is the dealio, man. Clam is the jam. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Woohoo! August is here. One day closer to the Railbird in September Canada Goose season. Tom P is in the house. Whoa.
Swing and a high fly ball out towards left field.
This weekend on ESPN Radio.
On its way!
To a baseball's best go head-to-head. The Detroit Tigers storm into Philadelphia to face the Phillies.
Home run to right, Riley Green.
The Tigers at the Phillies. Coverage begins today at 3:30 Eastern and tomorrow at 6 Eastern.
It's Phillies baseball on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Michael Oriema talking clams and clamming. He threw out that recipe. Like I said, the man knows his way around the kitchen. Hey, another word from DEP, Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Information and Education. Great Bureau. Shout out to Al Ivany, the chief and the great people he has working for him, most notably Karen Byrne, principal biologist with the Bureau of Information and Education. Two fishing events coming up. The first one is going to be at Sedge Island. Okay, it's that's there in Barnegat Bay. Great place. It's going to be August 26th and 27th. It's an overnighter. However, deadline to apply. There's still some spaces available. Very important to get this on is August 7th. Joining us on the line right now is Karen Byrne to talk about this and also another Let's Go Fishing event in Swedesboro Lake. One of my faves for the spring and fall trout stocking. Karen Byrne, thanks for joining us. What's happening, young lady? This looks like a great event. Go.
Thanks for having me. Yep, we're still fishing, still going strong, even in August. And yeah, we have lots of fishing programs happening. And the kayak fishing program will be at Sedge Island. You get to come out, stay at the Sedge Island Natural Resource Education Center, spend the night at the Sedge House, and we will be fishing all day, all night, early morning, targeting summer flounder, bluefish, striped bass. So this program's for those who have fishing experience but maybe haven't tried kayak fishing yet or want to get to know a little bit more about kayak fishing.
Kayak fishing, the Back Bay, is that skinny water. You get there at the right time. And Karen, I'll tell you, there's a, just a little sort of not on second, but sort of involving. You got some redfish back there, young lady.
Yeah.
On those high tides. Oh, yeah. You see them. I used to caught plenty in Louisiana, Texas, Florida. And those are reds. Well, you have the red drum, you know, along the coast as well. But, yeah, so now what's involved is the fee is $250. That includes equipment, meals. And do you have tackle or is that just a kayak and the meals and the lodging? What's the dealio?
It includes everything. We'll have equipment, tackle, bait, meals, the lodging, everything. We have actual fishing kayaks for folks to use and try out. We have one of the pedal kayaks and then two paddle fishing kayaks. So those participants who come out, they can actually get a feel to see if this is something they like or don't like or which one they like better. So it's all inclusive.
Unless it's in the back, Barnegat Bay in the back in August, it is literally a smorgasbord. Everything, yeah. Everything is absolutely going on there. So applications have to be accepted by the 7th. To get an application, fill out an application, Karen, where do people go?
They go to njfishandwildlife.com, and you can find the Sedge Island page there, and the link is right there to register.
And the fee is $250, correct?
$250, yep. But if you can't afford that, not to worry. We have financial assistance, so if you can't afford that, still apply.
Hey, Byrne, you get a cabin or a lean-to in one of the state parks or forests, you're gonna be going anywhere from $75 to $125 a night anyway. And you guys are supplying all the equipment and the eats. You know me, Byrne. I'm all about the food. Now, listen. Do you have guides helping with this, or just fish and wildlife personnel? What's the deal?
We have a bit of both. So we have our Fish and Wildlife Sedge Island staff who have been participants or have been leading these programs for a couple of years now, and then we also partner with Yakety Yak and Scott Thomas, who will come out and.
Yeah.
Instruct. He's a longtime kayak fisherman
of
the Back Bay Ocean. He knows it all, so he comes out and instructs and spends the night with us.
Great stuff. Listen, if you space is limited, the Montrose album back from 77, 78, jump on it. Just jump on it. Okay, Karen, more of my proclivities here at Narraticon Lake, otherwise known as Swedesboro Lake. August 20th, there's a Let's Go Fishing event. What's that all about?
That's for families or individuals. Kids have to be, I believe, 10 and older to participate in this program. And you come out, that program's 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and you learn basics of fishing, and then you get to fish the lake right there. We provide all the bait, all the equipment, tackle. We have wonderful volunteers who come out and help with that. So it's a really nice way if you haven't been fishing in a while or are interested in trying fishing, come on out for that one. And you know, those programs are great. And if you go on our events calendar, we have other fishing programs going on at PeaQuest and throughout the state.
Now, this event is a freebie, correct?
Correct.
And listen, let me tell you something about Swedesboro Lake. You don't know what you're going to get there. Yeah, I was soaking a wad of power bait for trout. It was back in a couple of years ago, back in second, third week in April. They stocked three or four times in season, once preseason. 23 pounds later, I dragged this carp up on the bank that sucked down a wad of power bait. You never know. 4 pound tennis. I mean, you know that they had lily pads already coming up. Man, it was something else. You don't know what's in it. I've seen guys there yank some large amounts out of there, 4 or 5 pounds. It's just a wonderful all around lake out there.
That's why fishing's so great. You never know what you're going to catch.
That's the best part. And again, information on the Narragansett Lake, Swedesboro Lake, whatever event. Go. Same thing?
Go to njfishandwildlife.com. That's the homepage. If you scroll down, you'll see our events calendar, upcoming events. Click on that link, and it gives you all the upcoming workshops we have going on.
Garen, thanks for joining us. Very short notice, very short segment. Get the word out. People, you're going to either event, educational event, you're going to have a great time, especially the yakking thing, again, in the bay. And Swedesboro Lake, you don't know what you're going to catch, but there's going to be something there. Karen, you take care. Have a great remainder of the summer.
You too. Thanks, Tom.
See ya. Two absolutely super events, 250, yeah, but, and you eat like kings and queens out there, man. Okay, hang in. Yeah, that Back Bay Sedge event, that's going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of the Back Bay, how's the saying go, especially in the dog days of summer like we have now, and it's going to chill down, it's going to get hot again. What's that from the old Edgar Winter album from 72? They only come out at night. What only comes out at night? The big fish, the big weeks, the big stripers that are still in the back, the resident fish. You got bluefish in the back. Nighttime is the right time. However, safety is a feature. Our very, very great guest is, we've been doing this now probably 14, 15, maybe 16 years. This time of year is about fishing in the back at night. I want to key more on, and John made a good point, as keying more on the safety as sand shift of the whole back. The things are happening in the back, especially you're in back, you know, Ocean City, South, even up towards Great Bay, you know, doing the wading. It can be a very bountiful, very hair-raising, thrilling fishing time, and it can also be treacherous. Big Johnny Grimm coming from Fanatics. How you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Okay. Hey, I have Grimco on the line right here. Listen, this guy saved my ass at more sports shows and boat shops than I could even imagine. By the way, John, those magnet things, they work. But, John, again, as we discussed off the air, the fishing, the tactics, whatever, that's pretty basic. We'll get into a little bit of that. But you said, Tommy P, I want to stress the safety factor because things can happen quickly in the back. It can go bad very, very fast, correct?
Oh, absolutely. It could be just one step and you're up to your neck. You know, like the north end of the island in Ocean City, from the bridge towards the inlet, there's sandbars out there that a lot of guys like to wade out to, you know, looking for the striper, the weak fish, you know, big bluefish and stuff. And a lot of that sand is awfully loose. One step causes it to shift, and you're in the water. I'm a believer that, you know, nighttime wading, you really should have waders on at all times.
Right.
Definitely safety belt around your waist so it can't fill up. And I'm even starting to wear, like, a Mustang inflatable belly band.
Right. Again, John, you're in, unless you all of a sudden you're in the water and there's no one around, and even though you may have a little headlamp on, it's inky black, you don't know what's happening.
Just recently I had a friend who was, during the daytime, going out, waiting out a little bit, trying to, do a few further casts, took one step. And he was up over his, you know, neck in water. Oof. You know, and no belt on. Luckily, he was able to get out of waders and get in and, move on. But, you know, one step could cost you your life.
And, John, the thing what scares me, again, was young, dumb, and full of whatever. You know, how the youth, we were all there. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you're trying to, old people trying to, more experience trying to tell you. Right. That go out and aren't familiar with the area being fished. But we hear at night there's some big-ass weak fish back here, the tide runners. I said, are you familiar with the area? Familiar with the nuances? We're good. And then tragedy happens. I saw one kid, Johnny, he came back. He looked like, you talk about the deer in the headlights, scared, bleepless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it only takes a second. You know, I can think back to my younger days and all the stupid, foolish things I've done and thinking back on it. And, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God being with me, I probably shouldn't be here.
Yeah, John, because listen, this guy's been, we're having you fish at night, Grimco in Jersey. you've been to row at Raritan Bay to Fortescue, I think. Hey, John, hang in for another segment. We're up against a hard break. Join us on the line, Johnny Grimco Fanatics Marine Supply there on West Avenue in Ocean City. This is our annual, you know, like I said, 14, 15 years, night fishing, dog days of summer. Want to keep more in on the safety. We'll get into some tactics, whatever, a little bit in the next segment, but safety is paramount. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein, producer Nick Urschel will join me in the studio. Former Eagles defensive back Eric Allen will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We will look at his career. The Phillies welcome the first place Detroit Tigers in the American League Central to the bank, and we will hear from former Phillies relief pitcher and World Series champion Scott Air about the Phillies' new closer and Jay Rolls induction onto the Wall of Fame. Plus the Beach Patrol report with Captain Chuck Galley of Margate. It's the Locker with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
In Wildwood.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 2nd and 3rd. Hey, thanks for waking up with us. You're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, 50,000 mega far reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio. Message streaming live 97.3ESPN.com. Go to Apple, YouTube, Spotify, other platforms of the Rack and Fin Radio podcast, which is usually posted either this afternoon or sometime on Sunday. Join us online. Very longtime friend and supporter of Rack and Fin Radio. Very experienced fisherman. Just an overall great guy who probably still has the hugging power of a polar bear. Big John Grimco down there in Fanatics on West Avenue in Ocean City. It's our annual Back Bay nighttime fishing. Well, John, before we get into some, you know, tactics and some equipment, you had mentioned off air, and listen, you know, predicated on where you're going, know your area, how important it is. John, mention something like you did, like off the surf. What happens? You're fishing up, you know, a lot. You're down here, then you go, say, Lavalette, Ortley, or Seaside. What happens?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, you know, you're used to an area like Ocean City and Strathmere, and where our beaches are tapered, and a lot of great surf fishermen are there, and they want to go up to Lavalette, Ortley Beach, and Seaside, and that, and they think it's going to be just the same, and they start to wade out like they did. Well, those beaches up there, 15, 20 feet out, you got a sudden drop. Where
You ain't lying.
You know, where our beaches, sometimes you can walk 30, 40 yards out. Yep. And not, you know, not hit, you know, above your waist.
Yeah.
You really have to know the area you're going to. And it's not just look at it on a map. You know, try to get there like even a day ahead of time if you can. And visit it at low tide. Look at your structures. Even a back bay when it's low tide. Go to the area you want to fish. Look at it. Look at the marsh bank and the sod banks. Are there any obstructions that, you know, at mid tide or something that you're not going to see as you're walking out? Are there any holes, depressions? Mm-hmm. Are there any pieces of pipe that could be there? You know, don't walk blindly the first time into an area and think, oh, this is just like at home. Well, home doesn't, you know, travel with you.
Good point. Hey, John, another thing too. One guy says, oh, time, Pete, you know, get with it. We got Google Earth. Google Earth to me is like a spell check on a computer. Oh, it didn't show up on spell check. You still have to know grammar to spell. It may show up on Google Earth. You still have to be boots, waders on the ground. Walk the area. Know the area. As John says, not everything will show. And, man, their surprises at night suck. And trust me on that, because God rest in peace, George Loder, my main man, Grim Cohen's, a couple other people, saved my fat ass several times.
You know,
boy, you smell like low tide, Tom P. Yeah, John, but just get me back to the truck.
Yeah, that's a load to lift up. Anyway,
you ain't lying.
Take a walking stick with you. Mm-hmm. Probe in front of you as you're walking. Okay, people are going to say, you know, you need that for your balance and stuff like that because I'm old? No, I need it for my safety. So I know ahead of me, the ground is solid. It's not going to give way. I'm not going to step on something. I'm not going to kick something. You know, at night, you're like a blind man walking with his cane, feeling your way. You know, your safety is up.
Yep, and John, again, using a headlamp is not when you get near the water, though, because that could be a spook. But other things too, like John, carry like you finally ingrained it into me, lovely Demery. Have a section of rope with you, something to help you know grapple, get yourself out.
Yeah, you know, I told you that story years ago. Used to carry 100 foot of rope in the back of my belt. You know, that saved my butt many a time. Well, at least once for sure. But you know, are you being overly precautious? Hell yeah, but it's my life.
Yeah,
you know.
And listen, you don't have to be weighed down if you think it out and you can pare it down to your basic state. But be sure, make sure that safety is paramount. Yeah, there may be some 30-inch stripers running around. I don't want to hit your pop or make it light up tonight in the whole bit. One misstep, reaching, trying to get like under that bridge. Like, we don't talk about the what's that bridge, John? Top, well, John, I gotta reach. I have to reach that bridge there. Be careful. I have to reach. Oh, and there you go.
Yeah, so, you know, it's utmost. I mean, the most important thing is to know before you go.
Mm-hmm. And John, you mentioned that belly band, the Mustang. We used to have the one, the belt pack, when we had the SOS account, which are Mustang purchase of suspenders. John, invaluable, because that can keep you up. That can keep you up and, you know, and safe. Easy to inflate, boom, and there you go.
I've had a Mustang inflatable belly band belt probably 35 years after my one experience going in. It's not uncomfortable. It's not cumbersome. It's a little pricey, even back then. But
what's your life worth?
Where do you put your price on, you know, your life?
Yeah. John, also, a phone in a waterproof case, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then I put it in an extra plastic bag for double safety.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, too, you had mentioned to me over the years, tell someone or some people where you will be and when you expect to get back. I know it sounds rudimentary, like you're talking to Cub Scouts at night in the back, especially in the more remote areas. You want people to know where you're going to be.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, let's say you don't fall in or something, or you don't have a problem, but you have a medical issue.
There you go, yep.
Okay. I'm going to be 77. I'm more concerned with that now. But I know
you're
going to
be 77?
Yeah, in September.
God bless you, dude. Oh, man.
I know guys who've been in their 30s and 40s who've had a minor heart attack and are laying on a marsh. Oof. Because they didn't take a phone with them.
And that's critical.
Or they didn't tell anybody where they're going to be and how long they're going to be.
Oh, what was the one instance? The guy, well, everything was okay, but at least he should have given us a call. The guy's wife called out. I don't worry. But the fishing was that good. He was down there behind Corson's Inlet. And John, the big weak fish were coming hot and heavy. So he said, I got into the moment. He says, you know, when are you going to get this? Well, you had people at home scared witless. Like, what happened to you? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It just gets crazy back there. But again, listen, let someone know where you will be and when you expect to get home. If fishing is good, give a call just say, or text. Hey, man, it's
you know,
hot.
A lot of
later.
The younger guys nowadays that I know I'm familiar with or work for me have me on speed dial on the phone in case something happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have, you know, certain people on speed dial that I can quick hit. And say, I'm in trouble. You know, they know where I'm at, and they can come get me. And, you know, this idea of keeping your spot secret, I'm sorry. That's BS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Only because there is no secret spot in New Jersey.
Not anymore.
Every inch of land that's water accessible has been fished by hundreds.
Yeah.
Okay? So you don't have a secret spot.
How true.
Let people know where you are.
A spot burner. No, it's open water, man. Belongs to everybody. John, I'm sorry. Continue. I get crazy about that.
No, that's all right. Yeah. I mean, you know, these guys that black out the background and stuff when he put a picture up, fine. I don't care. Okay? But if I'm not going, I tell people where I caught fish.
Sure.
You know? And it's not because I work at a tackle shop. I'm talking to a guy on a beach. Right? Yeah, okay, go down through blocks. There's a depression there. You do pretty good.
You know? Wait, Grimco. Is that where all my kingfish went? You rat bastard.
Yep, I burned your spot.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Anyway, as far as tackling gear, you know, I like a nice 7.76 rod, a soft tip. But has backbone to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many new rods out on the market by different makers and manufacturers. I can't even keep up with the names of the different brands and stuff like that. And they're all getting to be really into a nice, affordable price. Yeah, you've got the $350 and $400 rods, but you know, for the average guy, that's not a normal purchase. Rods in the 120 to, you know, maybe 180, 90. There's fantastic equipment. I like I said, I'm a top water freak. I like to see that explosion or hear that explosion. So I like a rod where I can work a popper. But on the other hand, I like to have that same rod where I can take a jig head and a paddle tail shad.
There you go.
Or the NLNB, you know, lures and stuff like that. Throw them out, SP minnows, all the different variations of SPs that are on the market, Yuzuris, and just pick a nice selection of things you like to do and perfect it.
Mm-hmm. Listen, as John says, there's no need to go out there with a chest pack like Buzz Lightyear or these, you know, 50-pound backpacks.
You know, I've seen basic guys walking out there with a huge backpack full. Yeah.
What do you?
I tried to pick up one guy's backpack to step around it. I almost couldn't lift it.
Well, hey, to each their own. But John, like you said, keep it simple, and this way you can concentrate more on the fishing than changing. I've seen guys and gals do that. You're changing your check. Get something on order. But John, back to the rods and stuff. Or basically the G2. Believe it or not, people, the ugly sticks. Yeah, ugly sticks. Yeah, they're relatively inexpensive. You get great value for the money, and God forbid something happens, you go and you lose it, it's no big deal. And you have a medium grade reel. You're not going to be getting 50-pound stripers in the back. Functional equipment works. You can go as high dollar as you want, more power to you. Follow Grimco. We keep it basic.
I tell you, you brought up Ugly Stick G2. Look at the new Ugly Stick Carbon.
Did you see that?
They're amazing. I mean, I've never been a great fan, sorry about this burn, but of the Ugly Stick, but I have put more of the Ugly Stick carbon rods in people's hands this year and have had them totally enjoy the experience at a reasonable price.
Reasonable price, yep.
And a great fishing stick.
Okay, John, listen, we have to close out the segment. Johnny Grimco, 14, 15, maybe 16 years of man as an ace. Get down there, Fanatics Marine Supply, West Avenue and Ocean City. They finally finished the road work out there. You can pull in. John, in closing, nighttime is the right time to get some big fish. They only come out at night. You're going to have some great fishing opportunities. But the bottom line is what, Big John?
Don't be stupid. Know before you go and enjoy yourself safely.
Said by the expert, one of the nicest guys you will ever meet. One of the most knowledgeable fishermen in the back you will ever meet. Don't let his polar bear size intimidate you. He is a big, gentle bear. Johnny, you take care. I hope to see you this coming week. You're going to be at the store?
Yeah, part of the week. I have to go to North Jersey at the end of the week.
Okay, maybe I'll see you a little earlier in the week. I'm going to be down that way.
Yeah, give me a shout privately when you can.
Hey, John, let's do lunch. Take care, brother.
Bye.
Just a good guy. Johnny Grimco, man. He knows his stuff. And I've seen him. The area was Drag Channel. Okay, that's where it was. He said, Pags, be careful. John, I've been fishing since I moved down here in 89. I don't... Whoa. In I went. Nothing dramatic, nothing really, but... Man, and don't you know, it was like early September, a chilling breeze comes up, and you're soaking, even, oh, boy. Know before you go. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
And that'll do it for this Saturday on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy. Hey, just a reminder, the Fisherman Magazine's August issue is out. Go to page 3 in the local section. As always, read Jim Hutchison Jr.'s incredible editor's log this month, False Promises. One line I have circled, and Hutch is going to be on next week, and yet someday never comes. Hey, God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next Saturday, Rack and Fin Radio. Get out there and go fishing, go crabbing, and go clamming. See you next Saturday.